Go ahead, Aaron. I just want to tell you about a 12-year-old boy we'll call Justin. Justin never knew anything good. His parents, if you want to call them that, were certainly not ready to have children. Justin, of course, was unintentional. And his parents made far less effort to raise him than they made to conceive him. So like many other boys of similar background, Justin literally grew up on the streets. He had seen and done it all. By this young age, he had already committed crimes that should have landed him in prison for a very long time. But fortunately for Justin, in the crowd he spends time with, these crimes were everyday life, largely hidden from mainstream society. Everything he had, such as it was stolen. He rarely ate and never ate from a plate. His language was foul, his manners were atrocious. He was always dirty, and he smelled bad. And the evil things that shocked the average citizen just made him laugh. But mostly he didn't laugh, not really. Mostly he was just sad, very, very sad. But by now he had grown numb to it. One day Justin was picked up by the police, nothing new. But this time he was taken into a room and shown a large file. He had no idea the cops had so much dirt on him. He wasn't just picking pockets anymore. He was up to home invasions, mugging, carjacking, and dealing drugs. But this day he sat in an interrogation room with an ironclad case against him. He was going to go away for a long time. He knew that he was going to be tried as an adult, and this time he wouldn't be able to get off by blaming his parents. Just as his fate was sinking in, an extremely well-dressed young man was brought into the room. He introduced himself as Joshua. He came representing a man who wished to adopt him. Justin was incredulous. What? Why? Who? What does it all mean? As to the who, replied the young man, it is my father. He is a king of a foreign nation, though he spends much time in your land. As to the why, he has noticed you on his visits here, and he even has people watching you. He takes great interest in you and is convinced that you can become a great man. He wants to adopt you and help you become that man. To put it short, he loves you. Your dad is clearly out of his mind, Josh, and I'm questioning that maybe you are too. Well, it would seem so, but he's just unusual, as I suppose so am I. But he's never wrong about anything, and he's absolutely determined to put all his vast resources into getting you up to your full potential. But why? Because he can. And because he cares. Has he seen my life? Has he seen my file? He had your file made. This is all the work of special investigations. It begins with how your parents came together, and it is complete right up to the moment you were picked up. The ink is barely dry on some of this stuff. And still, he wants to adopt me? Tell me, what does adoption mean exactly? It means that you will immediately become a prince. Not much different from me, really. Everything that is mine, and everything that is mine, I share with you, according to how cooperative you are. Ha! Cooperative. That sounds like a catch to me. Can you explain that? Well, Justin, you will be retrained. From the ground up, you will be completely re-educated on what life means and on how you live it. In the meantime, you will be taught to see yourself, your world, and your life differently. You will be made into a new person, and you will learn the proper way to treat others. And based on your particular skills and weaknesses, you will be given specific tools to help you re-educate others. I am offering you something wonderful. But don't ever think I'm offering you something easy. That sounds easy enough. But why the emphasis on cooperation? Am I missing something here? Well, the ideas that you will be taught may sound strange to you, and you may want to refuse some of it. And there will be times when you become very angry at my Father. You may even want to go back to your former lifestyle, and you will likely attempt to do so. What then? Will the cops come and pick me up again? No, we will simply wait. You will come back. My Father is never wrong. You might take a while and waste some time, but you will come back. The things that make you happy today will seem bland by comparison. No, you'll come back. But you will have wasted a lot of time feeling sorry for yourself, and I tell you, that is very painful for my Father to watch. So if I accept this offer, my life as I know it is over? Sort of. Actually, the training takes place right here. You don't leave. What? That's nuts. How am I supposed to do that? Well, a person doesn't truly change unless he rises above that which has kept him down in the first place. We have training facilities all around to help you through this process. These facilities are run by people just like you. But that is why it takes cooperation. No one is going to force you to do anything. No coercion. No manipulation. Now, you will be pushed a little, but you will have to choose to engage in every step of the way. Otherwise, it will have no value, no real effect. This entire arrangement is built on trust. My Father trusts you. So do I. You have to trust Him too. That's what it's all about. The sooner you learn that, the more you will get out of this offer. But you must completely and thoroughly promise to give this your very best effort. Well, I've got to tell you, this sounds too good to be true. It seems like I have won the lottery or something. Oh, it is good. It's real good. But let me remind you, this is no picnic. You have won the lottery, but you will not be spending the rest of your life sipping piña coladas on some beach someplace. When you are engaged, you will work like you have never worked before. It will hurt. It will be a struggle. I just want to make sure you understand this. But if you completely surrender to the process, you will love it. And the rewards will be beyond your dreams. Looking down at the table, Justin asked, "What about this file? What about the cops? I can't imagine they're going to let me off just because your dad's a rich king." Actually, no, they won't. Nor should they. But we've worked out a deal with the judge. I will be placed under arrest in your place. I will serve your sentence. Suddenly, there was complete silence. Justin just stares at Joshua in shock. Not only at what he has just heard, but the fact that Joshua is smiling. Joshua, do you have any idea what they will do to you in there? I know exactly what they will do to me in there. I can't believe you're doing this. Why are you doing this? I already told you. Because I can. Because I care. Because I love you. I am able to get you off, and I am just thrilled about it. Honestly, you look scared. Joshua laughs. You might think I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. I am scared. But I am also thrilled. Please say yes. This is your only chance to take hold of what you were made for. I want to do this. I want you to do this. Justin couldn't stand it any longer. He began to cry. Everything he had known was coming crashing down. There was no more pretending. He buried his face in his hands and just sobbed. How could this all be real? How could this have happened to him? Joshua simply reached over, touched his head, and said, Justin, I just need you to confirm the deal. I just need you to say out loud that you will give up the life you have had for the life I have just described for you. I have brought you some new clothes. I need you to wear them every day. It will remind you of our agreement. It will remind you of your former associates as well. Put them on and never look back. After a few moments of weeping, Justin finally gets it together enough to blubber out, "I accept. My life is yours. My life is your father's." Justin, he is your father now too. Then the police officer came, took the handcuffs off Justin and placed them on Joshua. This simple act seemed to happen in slow motion. It seemed to take years. Justin felt the freedom of having his hands liberated, but he just felt the weight of seeing Joshua's hands ultimately bound. The clicking of the handcuffs coming together around his Savior's hand was deafening. There was nothing Justin could say. It was past words now. Anything said would fall flat, miles short of what he was feeling. Joshua seemed to know that, and his eyes said that he understood. Justin sat there, caught between immense gratitude and overwhelming guilt, as the policemen began to take Joshua away. It hurt Justin to see him leave, but he couldn't look away. Just as Joshua crossed the threshold of the doorway, he looked back over his shoulder and smiled and said, "Make me proud, Justin." And then he was gone. Does this story sound familiar? It's a wonderful story. The boy's name is Justin. But who is the story really about? It's really about you and me, or anyone who tries to live a life without Jesus. And this little story illustrates that when life is at its worst, God is at his best. No matter how bad things get, you can always, always turn to God. It's never been this bad, my friend, though you've always found a way. You've searched your mind, but now can't find a thing that helps today. You've looked around and haven't found the friends you thought were true. Oh, but don't give in. I have a friend who knows just what to do. He's the best I know at caring, drying tears and burns. Stands the test, and if pain your heart's revealing, he's the best I know at healing. When life is at its worst, God's at his best. At his best when all the rest have left you all alone. He'll dry your tears, he'll calm your fears like none you've ever known. He holds today, he'll make a way. Just trust and let him lead. And when you find. He's all you have. You'll know he's all you need. For he's the best I know at caring, drying tears and burden bearing. When others try and fail, he stands the test. When it just can't get any worse, oh, when life is at its worst, God's at his best. Yes, when life is at its worst, God's at his best. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could come and hear a story about how you work, how you operate. And Father, we thank you for the times that we come here to receive not just spiritual food, but physical food. You tell us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And Father, we've heard your story today. And in just a moment, we'll receive physical food that you have blessed. Father, this little church could in no way provide food for 500 plus families a month. But you can. Your son fed 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children at one time with just a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread, one little boy's lunch. Father, we ask you to take the food that we've collected this week and we pray, Lord, that you would bless it to those who receive it today. Father, we thank you that they have come so that we can be your hands. And Father, we thank you for the prayer team that comes and prays for each one of these folks. We thank you for the volunteers who come and give their time and their talent and even their money to help us purchase the food. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless this ministry. For it's your ministry, we're just your hands. We pray you'd continue to bless this church and each one that's here today. And for those who don't know your son, Father, we just pray that somehow they would meet him and accept him as their Lord, their Savior. For it's in his name we pray today.